They're fed up with homophobia in Poland and with the opinion that we're crazy.
Government, even though it has police, even though it has power to put us in prisons, it's not able to stop democracy.
Never had a chance to be a little girl.
Insisting I am something else when I am just myself.
Every cowgirl gets the blues. Every cowgirl pays her dues.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. South Africa's top court tolls wedding bells for same-gender couples, protests mount over repression in Poland, and Trans World Classics collective creativity and activist rock roll in the audiophile. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Sherry Lund.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the 2 weeks ending December 3rd, 2005. Queer couples got closer to equality on three continents this week. The highest court in South Africa ruled overwhelmingly that lesbian and gay couples should have the right to marry under the country's groundbreaking constitution. As stated in the decision penned by Justice Albie Sachs, the exclusion of same-sex couples from the benefits and responsibilities of marriage signifies that their capacity for love, commitment, and accepting responsibility is by definition less worthy of regard than that of heterosexual couples. The Constitutional Court instructed Parliament to amend the marriage laws to comply with its ruling within a year, or the legal definition of marriage would be automatically changed. The only dissenting judge argued that the court should legalize same-gender marriage immediately, rather than give Parliament 12 months to act. The judgment came as a result of a challenge to the Marriage Act brought by Pretoria lesbian couple Marie Faurie and Cecilia Bontuis. After the Supreme Court of Appeal ruled in November 2004 in their favor, the government took the case to the Constitutional Court, arguing that the judiciary could not change the law on its own. The government is now prepared to respect the decision. Spokesperson Joel Netshitenzi told the South African Press Association that the matter will be assessed by the Department of Home Affairs to determine the details of the needed legislative changes. GLBT activists were elated, albeit frustrated by the delay on their way to the altar. Tuli Madi of Behind the Mask rhetorically asked reporters, "If Parliament does not do anything in 12 months, we can marry anyway, so why not make it effective now?"
Legal marriage was extended to same-gender couples in Belgium in 2002, but this week the country's Chamber of Representatives took a further step toward full equality by passing a bill to grant gay and lesbian couples adoption rights. Following sometimes contentious debate, the 77-62 majority vote in the nation's lower chamber was by a wider margin than had been expected. Pundits are predicting Senate passage in early 2006.
In couples developments down under, the government of the Australian Capital Territory, or ACT, has announced the introduction of civil unions legislation for gay and lesbian couples. Chief Minister John Stanhope said the new civil union laws will give lesbian and gay couples the same legal rights as their heterosexually married counterparts. Predictably, right-wing religious groups criticized the move, while queer advocacy groups applauded. The legislation is expected to be introduced in the ACT Legislative Assembly in March, based on the New Zealand civil unions laws that came into force earlier this year.
The Australian state of Tasmania granted same-gender couples the right to registration in 2004, but without specific legal rights. Its state parliament late this week refused to hold an inquiry into marriage equality for gay and lesbian couples. Tasmanian Greens proposed a same-gender marriage bill for parliamentary committee consideration, but the predominant Labour and Liberal parties voted against the move. The government said state laws could not supersede federal law. A national same-gender marriage ban was passed by the Howard government earlier this year. But Greens Justice spokesperson Nick McKim told reporters that he had legal counsel from a constitutional lawyer to the contrary. In any case, Tasmanian gay and lesbian rights group spokesperson Rodney Croom said, "It's appalling that first at a national level and now at a state level, both major parties have said no to even discussing the issue."
South Australia's Legislative Council passed a same-sex relationship bill to give same-gender couples many of the same financial rights as their heterosexual counterparts by a vote of 13-6 in late November. It was in the state's upper house that queer advocacy groups thought the measure would face its toughest opposition. However, on the final day of the legislative session in the House of Assembly, and before a gallery packed with anticipatory gay and lesbian couples and their supporters, the bill stalled when the government listed it last in the lower chamber's order of business. It appears that backroom political deals were negotiated between the Labor government and opposition Liberals to pass several other bills that also included a government promise not to bring the same-sex relationships bill up for a vote. The legislature has now adjourned until after state elections on March 18th, so proponents of the bill will have to start all over again in both houses next year.
The scandal-plagued Liberal-led minority government of Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin did not survive a confidence vote in late November, and same-gender marriage has already surfaced as a campaign issue leading up to new elections on January 23rd. Conservative Party leader Stephen Harper has pledged to allow a free commons vote on marriage equality and to ban further same-gender unions if the move to reinstate the heterosexual-only definition of marriage is successful. More than 3,000 queer couples across Canada have wed since marriage equality became legal, and Harper said those unions would be respected even if the law changed. He has yet to explain, however, how such a vote would supersede the country's Supreme Court edict that required passage of equality legislation. Canadian voters face a choice among the country's two leading parties, between a scandal-scarred Liberal government asking for a fifth mandate and the Conservative opposition still trying to overcome perceptions of intolerance.
The prospect of torturous human rights abuses against gays in the United Arab Emirates has even been enough to awaken outrage from the U.S. State Department. Following the arrest of some 26 men at a mass wedding ceremony in Dubai, UAE authorities have suggested that the men could be subjected to forced psychological and hormonal treatment in addition to lashings and 5-year jail terms. Police said they raided a Gantout hotel on the Dubai-Abu Dhabi highway in response to a tip, where they allegedly found a full-blown party with a dozen men dressed as brides and a dozen in male Arab attire. Openly homosexual behavior is prohibited in the country. According to Interior Ministry spokesman Issam Azuri, it's likely that the accused men will stand trial under Muslim law on charges related to adultery and prostitution. "It's not about freedom of opinion," he said. "It's about respecting religion, which forbids this type of behavior." Although similar arrests in the recent past have led only to symbolic, if humiliating, punishments, prominent Emirati lawyer Abdul Hamid Al-Kumaiti told the Associated Press it could well be different this time. "There are so many others like these guys," Al-Kumaiti said. "The police and rulers need to do more than just lash them and let them go."
The church, while profoundly respecting the persons in question, may not admit to the seminary and holy orders those who practice homosexuality, show profoundly deep-rooted homosexual tendencies, or support the so-called gay culture. That's part of one of the key sentences in the long-awaited document published by the Roman Catholic Congregation for Catholic Education entitled, "Instruction Concerning the Criteria of Vocational Discernment Regarding Persons with Homosexual Tendencies, Considering Their Admission to Seminary and to Holy Orders," which was formally released November 29th. As scholars, observers, activists, and parishioners on both the conservative and progressive sides attempt to parse the exact meaning and ramifications of the instruction, its terminology and approach do seem to indicate that the last two decades of scientific research have had little impact on the Vatican's understanding of human sexuality. Not recognizing the concept of sexual orientation, the document approved by Pope Benedict in August only draws a distinction between deep-rooted and transitory homosexual tendencies. Despite numerous studies that disprove any link between homosexuality and pedophilia, the instruction includes a veiled implication that it is intended in part to address the child abuse crisis that has rocked the church in recent years.
The instruction only targets seminarians, not previously ordained gay priests. Those charged with supervising seminarians are advised to dissuade gays from pursuing ordination, although they are not required to out them. Aside from the general church teaching that gay sex is intrinsically immoral and contrary to natural law, the document cites several reasons why gay men should not become priests, including the assertion that homosexuality gravely obstructs a right way of relating with men and women. Critics of the instruction decry its archaic suppositions about gay men, and worry that it will have the effect of keeping gays from seeking ordination at a time when qualified candidates are increasingly difficult to come by. Supporters of the Vatican position think that it will encourage heterosexuals who have been uncomfortable with the gay subculture in Catholic seminaries to return. Still, some church officials maintain that, in the context of a full assessment of the individual, the document leaves room for them to approve gays for ordination.
And finally, in predominantly Roman Catholic Argentina, and despite the church's condemnation of condoms for HIV prevention, Buenos Aires had one of the more unique World AIDS Day observances this year. The city's most visited tourist attraction, the landmark obelisk, which is identical in shape to the Washington Monument in America's capital, was on December 1st given special protection as city-authorized cranes draped a giant pink condom over it. Its colorful tip could be seen from office buildings several blocks away. Thanks to aggressive education campaigns, the number of reported AIDS cases in Argentina has fallen 45% since 1996, according to the health ministry. The leading cause of HIV infection, however, continues to be unprotected sex. Said Sandra Castillo, who helped coordinate the obelisk sheathing, "It seemed like we could have the biggest impact by putting a condom on the most important symbol of the city."
That's News Wrap for the 2 weeks ending December 3rd, 2005. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written this week by Lucia Chappelle and Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
A woman in a man's suit finds orchids in the Arctic blooming live at the lodge. Later in the program.
There's nothing so international as a powerful idea. Hi, I'm Edmund White. While I live in Paris and have worked in many cities in the U.S., it is the overwhelming international flavor of the lesbian and gay rights movement that has proved so powerful and impressive over the past couple of decades. And one radio program, This Way Out, has been there to record, to inform, and to entertain. So please keep listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine on this station.
Homophobia and freedom of speech are becoming the focal points for action by the opposition to Poland's new Law and Justice Party government. Late November rallies in Gdańsk, Krakow, and other cities protested the banning of a gay rights march in Poznan. A cross-section of human rights activists joined in to demand tolerance and freedom of speech from the country's new conservative leaders. Poland is already under a warning from the European Union not to limit the rights of gays and lesbians. New President Lech Kaczynski banned two local gay pride marches himself while he was mayor of Warsaw, and his campaign was peppered with anti-gay rhetoric. But people in the capital would not be silenced this time, and Free Speech Radio News reporter Donata Szafraniec was there.
More than 1,000 protesters assembled in the center of Warsaw, demanding tolerance, freedom of speech, and the right of assembly, especially for gays. Simultaneous demonstrations took place in many cities organized by the Campaign Against Homophobia in Poland. The marches were a response to the brutal police breakup of a similar march in Poznan a week before, when heavily armed riot police arrested more than 65 gays and lesbians who refused to disband when they attempted to hold a gay pride march. Many of Warsaw's inhabitants, like this 52-year-old woman, took part to show support not only for sexual minorities, but everything else deemed in Poland as different.
Why are you here?
Because this is really a case for fighting, for keeping the democracy. We are fed up with homophobia in Poland and with the opinion that we're crazy. Homophobia is wrong. We are far away from understanding that we're living in the world which is really primarily heterosexual, but it doesn't mean that that's normality. And we think that those processes which are happening now in Poland are really very dangerous because it's a straight road to totalitarian society, and we don't want to allow that.
Robert Biedron is with Campaign Against Homophobia, which organized the protests.
We came here to protest against the dictatorship of newly elected government who tries to separate some minority groups from the society. Gays and lesbians, heterosexual people, black and white, disabled came here to reanimate democracy again, like during communist dictatorship, came on the street to defend the human rights. It's something what shows that government, even though it has police, even though it has power to put us in prisons, it's not able to stop democracy.
Opposition politicians also participated in the march. Izabela Jaruga-Nowacka is Poland's former deputy premier and social affairs minister. She is with the SLD, Social Democratic Party, accused by the new conservative government of promoting homosexuality.
All citizens, independent of their own way of life, independent of the color of the skin or religion, have the right to protest and to choose their own way.
Simultaneously, about a dozen of far-right counter-demonstrators briefly taunted participants with insults, but there were no reports of violence that has marred earlier rallies. The countrywide campaign of support for equal rights for sexual minorities has stirred much discussion and controversy, both among Polish society and political elites who find homosexuality unacceptable. Meanwhile, the European Commission announced that if Polish government continues to oppose gay rights, Poland risks losing its voting rights in the European Union. I'm Danuta Szafraniec, Warsaw.
Hi, I'm Margaret Cho.
Hello, this is Edmund White.
Hi, I'm comedian Bob Smith.
Hi, I'm Kate Clinton.
Hello, I'm Armistead Maupin.
Hi, I'm Clive Barker.
This is Judy Shepard.
Hello, I'm Scott Thompson.
Hi, I'm David Sedaris.
Hi, this is Jeff Straker.
Hi, this is Chastity Bono, and you're listening to
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
This Way Out. The International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine.
Are you signed up for our monthly emailed This Way Out updates? They briefly preview upcoming programming and give you other behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio program. We also send out weekly email messages about the specific content of each upcoming show. To receive one or both of these messages, all you need to do is email tworadio@aol.com. And be assured that we don't share, sell, or otherwise provide your email address or anything else about you to anyone, and we never will. Again, to receive the monthly This Way Out update and or our weekly program promo message, ask for them by name when you email tworadio@aol.com. Some sultry vocals, a band's reunion, and a roots rock activist all have one thing in common to make for an interesting set from the audiophile.
Never had a chance to be a little girl. Changed so fast. She's a woman in
Veronica Klaus's new album is called Live at the Lodge, and it opens up this month's audiophile featuring all transgendered artists. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. The album captures her live performance in an excellent showcase of her sassy and sultry vocals.
She's just a visitor, a stranger in town. The same but different, still knows her way around. The old slag pile, five and dime, people and places remain in her mind, but you can't go back to a church that burned down a lifetime ago.
My latest album is called Veronica Klaus Live at the Lodge, which is exactly what the name says, and it was recorded at a benefit for Rainbow World Fund. There's some classics on there, songs that I've always loved, and some of them I've done for years. There's a duet with Mark Weigel, and one of my original songs called Black Diamond Days, which has become sort of a signature tune for me. We recorded it with a 10-piece band for a great cause.
And here's a bit of that duet with Mark Weigel.
Make me an angel, flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo.
Just give me one thing that I can hold on to. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go.
Find out more about the album Veronica Clouse Live at the Lodge at www.veronicaclouse.com. That's www.veronicaclouse.com.
When Jessica Xavier released her debut album Changeling in 1999, it was a solo effort. For her 2005 release, she brings along a band.
The band's name is Femme Messiah, and the title of the CD is Orchids in the Arctic.
Orchids in the Arctic represents the work of a kind of a collective of transgender, transsexual musicians. Femme Messiah was a band that played for about 4 or 5 years in the D.C. and Baltimore area, mostly transgendered women. And this is our body of work, kind of captured and represented on this CD.
It's obvious, you're oblivious to gender. You blindly follow all those stupid rules. Why they only think of you? Rainbow of you. That's gender. It looks good, kill I'd be their cause of gender. You think and act like you are rips. Defender, insisting I am something else when I am just myself.
You can learn more about the album Orchids in the Arctic by Femme Messiah at www.galerecords.com. That's www.galerecords.com.
Georgie Jessup is both a rock and roller and an activist, and her fourth album is called Woman in a Man's Suit.
I want my heart to be those outside the lines. You know the Joan of Arc and the Sundance Kid, they're in my bed tonight. For those who have a different dream and make those dreams come true, I offer up my sacred place and join you. Time I look to you, you're living out your destiny. You're not hiding in sanctuaries, waiting for God to see. You've written everything you believe in on the back of your right hand.
The album's called Woman in a Man's Suit. It's 13 songs that come from roots rock traditional approach. It encompasses a lot of the influences in my life over the years. I'm very proud of it. It's an album I've waited my whole life to make. I'll be satisfied leaving my mark on the music world and the world in general with this album.
Every cowgirl gets the blues. Every cowgirl pays her dues. And every Johnny thinks we'll never make it on our own.
Find out more about Georgie Jessup and her album, Woman in a Man's Suit, at www.georgiejessup.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas, 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiofile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle, reminding you that we're less than a month away from our annual Audiophile Year in Review, coming the last week of December, here on This Way Out. Keep listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Christopher Gall, Sherry Lund, Lucia Chappell, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. A special thanks also to Free Speech Radio News. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to find out how you can help keep us on the air and to discover some unique holiday gift-giving ideas and a U.S. tax deduction, too. To sign up for our weekly emailed program information messages and or our monthly This Way Out updates, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WJSC Johnson, Vermont, Boise Community Radio, Boise, Idaho, 5UV, Adelaide, South Australia, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.